what I'm doing. Let me sit this
down. Okay. Take your time. Hello. We're going to have to rock and roll, aren't we?
Oh, that's okay. That's from Hudson.
Hello, Hudson.
Stay there. You're all
hooked
up.
You're doing all right. I am. Do you mind sitting here? Because I got the thing set up.
Not at all.
Is it comfortable there? I'm squishing you, and I got the mic. Remember, our little
and
thing,
I see
hang
little,
it wherever we want it.
A little cool. It is much better in here.
Good. It's still, I can hear the background air conditioner and even the coffee maker dripping, but I think it's going to be fine.
Isn't it, I can close this door right here.
Let's do that.
Yeah,
let's
this
do
could
that.
Be closed.
That's one thing that'll help. And
this could be closed.
Okay. You're not even have a chance to take a breath today, are you?
I'm fine. No, it's crazy. Really crazy.
Uh-huh.
We have a campaign that we're working on,
what?
A national campaign. It's Health Care for America Now.
Uh-huh.
And so we're the lead organization for the state, and so it's being kicked off Thursday at Open Door Clinic here in Raleigh, and so it's going to be good.
What is it? What is
it's a national campaign basically to set the tone to keep people interested in healthcare being the key issue and keeping that to the forefront. We'll also be doing congressional visits, and we'll be collecting stories, you know, of what's going on with people. And the thing is that we're hoping, and they're saying that some of the stories, they'll be able to provide transportation to them to go to Washington to speak on the Hill, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah. Are y'all going to
so
do digital storytelling?
I don't think digital. It could be, well, I mean, they are providing a camera so that we can document, you know, different actions that we have. But that might be something that, you know, we should consider.
Yeah.
So, and then what we're going to do on our website, which is being updated, which I'm really excited about too, we have some individual stories already that people are speaking to, their interviews. They're just snippets so that we'll have them streamlined. You know, they'll be able to be streamed in to the website so that people will see how people are working in their individual communities for change. And so we're so excited about that.
I love that.
So they just finished that last week. And
who's
so,
they?
Oh, this is Exchange Project that we work with. I'll give you one of the packets. You know, where that's where we had, in fact, Erin wrote some of the stories for this. You know, we were doing, I think I told you about this some time ago, that we had been working on a project where we did individual stories in people's communities that had happened.
Yeah.
And then, so now they've made a diskette of it. And this is, it's called Rita's Theater.
Yeah.
And we have like packets. We'll be doing education packets, education pieces on this. And this is like, then we have the facilitation guide. And
using drama
like
to understand experiences with environmental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Erin Burr.
Yes, phenomenal story. You should see this in action, this story. This is my favorite one, you know, Faith in Things Not Seen. It's phenomenal.
Oh,
so anyway,
I want the AIRS project to get here. We've got colorful packets.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I want to stream
stuff. We're
pretty
much there.
So
stuff will start being streamed. You know, they're working on our website to update.
Exchange Project is.
Well, Exchange Project won't be doing that. There's a person who's contracted to do our website, you know, to put in the stream pieces.
Who's that? Because we've been.
This is a person. They're in. Here in North Raleigh, gosh, I don't have, I think the number and everything is inside.
Okay.
But I'll get that, you know, to you so you can have
I'll
it.
I'll make a note of it to remember to get it from you.
Yeah. So I think those are more effective now because, I mean, people read, but they don't read at long pieces, you know, in a sense. And so if on your web, if you can have actual things, I think that helps with your organizing pieces as well as people connecting. Wow, well, I didn't know people could actually do that in their neighborhoods.
Yeah.
In their communities, and
that's so
we need to
beautiful.
Get started, you know. So
that's
what we're hoping that would happen with having these stream interviews that people are talking about.
I've been calling them podcasts, but I'm so
maybe that's what they call podcasts.
I don't
know because I'm not all you know.
I know, me either.
Techie, you know,
I know.
But Yeah, so we're excited about that piece.
Good. Well, I know I'll have a lot to learn. It'll be great. Thank you for that resource. Mm-hmm. And for you, our new Beautiful Airs Project brochures. I thought maybe y'all could
cool.
just
look at that.
Get your beautiful mug.
This is great. So, I can't wait to get my family. And what I'm going to try to do, I spoke to my brother yesterday in regards, he lives in New York, mm-hmm. That my family needs to, you know, because all of them, you know, have good jobs and things mm-hmm. like that. But we need to, you know, they need to contribute more, you know, mm-hmm. To the work. And I'm going to see to it that maybe they might do like a special type of thing, because I'm working to try to get, you know, some money to air. So, anyway.
Thank you,
we'll
Lindy.
See. Did you get a chance to talk with Forbes?
I haven't.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I haven't yet, but I knew that today I was supposed to have that letter for you to sign for him.
Oh, that's
and,
okay.
And we've got it. I just didn't put his name on it and print it out yet, but it's ready. And
okay,
I will get that
no
to
problem.
You, and maybe you could
right,
forward it to
him
electronically.
Right, because I think if he has like a brochure like
okay.
this, and
okay.
you know, then I'm pretty sure. And they're doing a story on Fair Share and the work with the Triangle Tribune.
Yeah.
That's going on, I think, this Wednesday, because she was here. I did interviewing last week.
Wow.
I think it was Thursday and Friday. So I don't know what that's going to turn out like. But
okay.
anyway, because we like, I was jumping like in between things. And so we'll see.
Well,
but
they
these brochures
that.
Look fantastic.
Yeah,
we're going to get some
you.
New brochures made. This is great.
Thank you. And
you
here is a little gift for
Ajama
you.
Ajama looks so serious, but it's
I
a nice
know.
Smile.
He's going to be like, he's got a smirk. Where the hell did you get that picture? Here's a little gift for NC Fair Share,
oh,
kind of
wow.
our tenant there.
This.
If you, yeah, you can read it out because I've already got us rolling
oh,
here.
Okay.
So.
If you have come to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is abound up with mine, then let us work together. Oh, I'll probably put that as one of my quote in my emails.
Oh, good. Isn't that something?
Oh, this is really good.
Yeah, that's it.
I like this. I like this.
So not service,
thank
but...
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh,
it's so
nice
tiny
stuff.
Token for your mm-hmm. time. And your. And I wanted to say that I forwarded your oral history, your life history to some folks just as a bit of inspiration to like
mm-hmm.
some of the airs and
mm-hmm.
yours is as wonderful as everybody else's is, but as I was editing and preparing, it was just on my mind and heart, and it there's so much joy and hope in it, and
oh good
just
mm-hmm.
something about the past few days, and people have been talking about how do I tap into joy when I'm so when the anger and grief around
right,
injustice
is
so
is.
Overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much you said in there about what sustains you
yeah.
and your love for family and church, and so I you'll
good.
See it. You
oh,
it's
great.
It was
very
sent
good.
To you too.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
You know.
Excellent.
Well, let's dive in because I know you have an meeting
yeah.
with Acorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
Well, they're the partners. They're one of the partners in the I call it HCAN. You know, it's Healthcare for America Now. And they're one of the partners. So we're talking, you know, today and you know, just kind of spelling out a little bit more strategy on some specifics that they'll be working on. Because
okay.
we have, you know, the congressional visits to do. We'll be doing, like I said, the stories statewide. And then we'll be doing some specific congressional targets that we're looking at and trying to get them on board, or at least to say that they would support the principles. They're just common principles of healthcare that we have. You know, in a statement, and
yeah.
so that's what we'll be looking at. We're not promoting a particular plan because it's not a piece of legislation or anything, but we want them to agree, you know, to specific principles that, you know, there'd be some kind of healthcare plan that they would definitely work on to have healthcare available for everybody. You know, it's just some, and affordable, you know, real specifics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're hoping that they would sign on.
Yeah.
And that's like the main thing is getting congressional people to sign on.
Because
so.
Then you can hold them accountable to
right.
values that they've
right.
supported. Like
that's right.
It being a basic human right.
That's right.
Like
that's right.
You sign us, man.
In.
And
right, and that's what we want. And
yeah.
we even have to go to our foes because uh-huh. we're hoping to set up meetings with Elizabeth Dole and...
what?
I hope she... I hope she's out. No, come November 4th. But anyway, I got some oh, God. But hopefully,
don't
we'll
call
see.
Her Liddy.
Right.
I read about the paper. She gets all mad.
Let's see, we were doing Richard Burr. That's uh-huh. another one. And then we wanted a support person who we know supports and backs healthcare for all. And we're going to be, you know, really speaking a lot with Butterfield because and people in his district, so that they'll know, you know, that here's somebody that, you know, supports healthcare you know, as a ride, and you know that you know the correct coverage for people. And then we'll also be exposing a lot more of the insurance industry, the profits that they're making, and the problems that people are having with the insurance industry. And so we're hoping to have some actions at insurance places, like Blue Cross Blue Shield in particular.
There you go.
And so we're hoping to turn out a lot of people to be in front of their building and, you know, saying they're tired.
We'll be there.
They're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
That's right.
So, yeah, so then that's what we'll talk about today.
Good.
With ACORN.
Tell you with that. Jake and Ella's hospitalizations just in these couple of years, our health insurance is more than our mortgage now. It's killing us.
It's killing us. And see, that's what we'll talk to. Not all people who are uninsured. We want to talk to people who are insured and that are having problems with, you know, the coverage, also with the premiums. It's a crisis.
It's
a real crisis. So even people who are insured, they're having problems.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
And what did CEO
make last year?
Blue Cross,
I know!
Some
the millions!
Million. It was tens of millions,
tens
wasn't
of
it?
Millions.
Last
tens
year?
Of millions.
We'll have to check that, but I mean,
but that's the kind of data that we'll be putting out there.
Good, good.
So people have that kind of get more fired up.
Good,
you know?
Good. Wow, shoot. Oh, you're ever busy, Miss Williams.
All the time. All the time. It's like, okay. Because they had called us. They had, you know, said, well, they were looking around in North Carolina. They had talked with the, you know, some others in regards to health, you know, trying to launch this campaign. And then they called us because they knew the work that we had been doing too on healthcare.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, we'll do it. And I have to hire a person, you know, that kind of coordinate, you know, the work itself. And hopefully she'll be here by 11 too. So anyway, that's kind of where
good.
We're at right now.
That's
so
good.
I'm looking forward to it, and it should be good. And
good.
It's a good thing. So.
Good. Well, let's talk about some of the HIV/AIDS work that we didn't touch on
last time, which
is such a big part of.
It is, and that's, you know, through church. I head up the AIDS ministry at our church, and it's Christian Faith Baptist Church, and it's the AIDS ministry, and we have some great people who are part of the AIDS ministry. There's about 14 of the. We call them disciples in the church that's a part of the ministry. And the key things that I really, really like is that we are addressing, as a black church, and one of the very few black churches, addressing HIV and AIDS in our community and trying to alleviate this epidemic that's a crisis right now. And so we do a lot of education within the church and also have resources for outside of the church as well. This year we started testing, you know, HIV testing. We started in our church first. The whole, you know, people within the church were tested, and then we took it outside of the church. We had a whole, we call it a citywide testing that was here in Raleigh. We did that in March, and that was in collaboration with national, that's called the National Healing for HIV, Healing for AIDS, and it's a national piece that's done every year in March. The first week in March, and it runs a whole week, Black Church Week of Prayer for the healing of AIDS. And so we did that as a launch kickoff. We did the citywide testing, and it was very, very good. The News and Observer covered it. And so the thing is that we are not only just doing that, we also work on the legislation to make sure that the prescription drugs for HIV AIDS patients, that monies keeps growing. It's called the ADAP program. That's a assistant AIDS prescription drug assistance program. ADAP. AIDS drug assistance program. And what it is that provides the medications, which are so expensive for the uninsured. And as you know, the medications are very, very expensive. And so every year, sometimes it comes up, you know, in the budget that they're looking at cutting the funds. And the thing is that it's not really enough anyway, because it's only at 200% of the poverty level that you can get this assistance. And we would like to see it get higher, you know, because a lot more people who are uninsured need this care. And so we're hoping that eventually that would grow. But every session, you know, we're working at the General Assembly along with other agencies that's working on AIDS agencies here in the city, that gets increased, because that needs to happen. And then the other piece that we work on, which we just got finished doing, is a food drive. And this is food for people who are uninsured and people who are living with HIV and AIDS that really have so, and they're low income, that have so much problems because the fact that the medicine is so expensive, and most times they have to decide between food and medicine. And so the food pantry at Under One Roof, that's located off of New Bern Avenue, they have a food pantry that gives not only to adults but to children as well. And every year, Christian Faith Baptist Church, the AIDS Ministry, we provide, I'd say like it's got to be over 100 bags of food. And it fills, overflows their pantry. And then we try, if possible, even other times, people will give, you know, and so that we give. And the other thing that we do is the AIDS Walk. You know, we are part of that AIDS Walk, which we try to rally around getting not only people within the church to be there, we get people outside the church as well to be there and be a part. And we contribute. We contribute a lot of money to AIDS agencies here in the city. And then we also give to the Lot Carey Baptist Convention. And the Lot Carey Foreign Mission effort works in Africa, you know, with orphanages and with families living with HIV and AIDS. And one of the exciting parts about all of this is that it gives us an opportunity to not only work on the issue here, but also that our efforts are going, you know, outside of this particular area. So we, in doing the work, and we have done, there's a Husted House here in Raleigh, and that's where people who are living with HIV and AIDS, well, really with AIDS, because they're really on the, almost on the brink of death. And we go there and we provide meals and spiritual support, you know, to people, you know, living with HIV and AIDS. And I, because I've been touched, you know, by this particular issue, I had a godson whose godmother had passed from HIV, and, well, at least died, or she was at AIDS at that point, but then her sister passed also with AIDS, and we also had three other friends, you know, in our, you know, just in our friendship. These are all people who lived in New York City, and they were under the age of 40, you know, all of these people. And so I always had a compassion to try to address this some kind of way, and I was just happy that the church had a venue, you know, when I went there, and they said they had an AIDS ministry, and that was like, we belong there now 12 years. I was just so excited, I didn't know what to do. And then I didn't go to be like the head of the ministry, but as time evolved and being around the table and with ideas and stuff, then, you know, I've been blessed to be the head of the ministry. But the thing is it's tying in the church with public policy as well as, you know, one-on-one, you know, service as well as advocacy. So I think that puts us, you know, in another piece of work that I think and I feel churches need to be doing as a whole. So I'm very excited about that work. It's, you know, it's also timely, you know, that I think at the time that now where we're looking at with and that was in the newspaper last week, that it's going up higher.
Especially for black women.
And that's something that, you know, really, really touches me a lot because it doesn't make sense because this is a preventable disease. And so the whole piece of all of this is education. And I think when it comes down to black women and just sort of figuring out, okay, how can there be a way in which that we can address this particular issue? We've started youth forums within our church, talking to the young youth in the church about HIV and AIDS and STDs. And one of the components of that training and those workshops are about self-esteem building, because when an individual will actually risk their lives because they just feel like maybe this individual wouldn't love them as much if they use or don't use some to protect their lives, it's just like, you know, what does that say? It's got to be a whole piece about self-esteem building that has to happen. And so anyway, we're doing those pieces, you know, of trying to address, you know, to make sure that at least there's some kind of something, you know, that would happen with the work that we're doing to, you know, maybe stop some of this epidemic. And I'm happy to be a part of that as well. So yeah, my work just goes on and on.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. So much. Was there anything else that you remember us not touching on last time that you wanted to talk about? The HIV/AIDS work is the only one that you mentioned, but
right. I think because I just kind of wanted to, you know, make sure that that, you know, was stated, because I think that we also, as advocates and as activists and organizers, it's so easy to only, you know, be involved with the work that we do, which I think is critical. But then are there other areas that we also, with giving what little pieces of a shred of any additional time that we have, which is very rare, seeing what other compassions that we have, you know, like in our hearts, you know. A lot of times it's just about, I think, passion. You know, mm-hmm. what are other things that you feel passionate about? Mm-hmm. And seeing if there is a little bit of time that you can spend to make a difference in that area as well. You know, because the problems and the public policies and the local issues, you know, they will always happen as well. But then also, what is it that you, you know, individually feel also passionate about, you know, that not only just involves your work, your paid work per se, but that you can give of yourself without any having anything or, you know, pay for as well. So, and I think that we do this work too without pay.
Amen. You know, I was just going to ask you about
many
that.
Many a day.
Shoot. Marnie, I had
because of passion. Because
that's
of passion.
Right. Commitment. I know. Class suicide. So, Ray Earhart calls it class suicide. I tell you, I had the most wonderful conversation with Marnie Thompson, who's the director of the Fund for Democratic Communities. You know, the Ed Whitfield's the director in Greensboro,
okay.
But
yes.
Marnie's the president. Mm-hmm. She was, all her inheritance just went into this fund. She was raised wealthy, and her parents always thought she was kind of a crazy liberal. And but anyway, she's so down to earth. And so we're on this call with her, Rima Lemire, our new AIRS Project Development Coordinator, and we're talking. I mean, do you know of other groups who survive when they're just months of not getting paid? And have you ever seen groups that don't have, I mean, because we're trying so hard to do it without foundation funding.
I know.
And then she goes, well, people in the civil rights movement did it forever without
That's
any funding.
Right.
And I was like, duh.
I know.
and she said, and in some ways, other community, other like civic engagement groups and community-based groups all around the world say, why do these Americans think they got to get paid to do this work? Like, this is just part of the...
But the
culture is different.
And we
do need to support more organizing jobs that are sustainable for people.
That's true. And with benefits.
With benefits.
Because I think that... retirement, you know, I have no retirement, you know, but when you think about it, is that there's some, you know, basic benefits that many organizers do not have. Some don't even have health insurance, retirement. So, I talked to Jim Grant, who's on our board of directors, and he's also a longtime, you know, activist. Here he is now at 70-something years old, and he was saying, well, you know, I've given my whole life, you know, to this movement. And no, I don't have any to retirement, you know, but, you know, that's why I'm still doing, you know, like I'm doing, and I'll do that until my last breath. And I have a little something saved aside that his granddaughter, you know, be able to bury him. But there again, you know, you're going, okay, something's kind of wrong with this, you know, in a sense, you know, because why then in doing so much of the compassionate work, you know, then are people just kind of left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes we often think, you know, that maybe it could be or it should be where the sacrifice of just giving, you know, of yourself and how it does come back. But then there also should be a way and a method in which, you know, you do benefit as far as the basics. I don't think that any of us, you know, that we can look and say that we're making the $100,000 salaries and all of that, that maybe corporate structure, you know, has. Because given if you put it on a measurement of your work and the work in a corporate structure, you probably would be making, you know, that amount of money, because that's what would be the type of monies that you would be making. But I think none of us, you know, work at the kind of salaries that we do deserve. But I think that we do deserve, you know, at least the benefits and the basics, to do this.
Because you're also making a choice for your kids.
That's right.
And your grandkids.
That's right.
Your and you're
families.
Setting an example for
That's
other
right.
people who might want to do movement work,
That's
but
right.
who'd be like, I'll be damned
That's
if I'm
right.
going to die without a penny in my pocket. And make my parents and my kids have to take care.
I know, have to bury me and take care of me if I'm sick, you know. So it says something that this does deserve, you know, something. You know, you really, really, really should have something. And I know there's times and periods where, you know, if grant and funds don't, you know, kind of work out, that you have to make that sacrifice and say, okay, it's good to just pay the workers and pay, you know, folk. Than yourself, you know, and keep the rent and the lights on and what have you, which is a sacrifice, it really is. And you have to be thankful that if you have a spouse that works maybe at a state job with with decent benefits and, you know, a constant salary, that kind of keeps the flow of things going. Because without that, you know, it's very, very difficult. So, you know, I'm blessed, you know, I really am, and I'm thankful. But there are so many times, you know, that have to still go, you know, without... and make those kind of calls, you know, to the sacrifice. But I think that's why NOAA is in place, you know, with the
National Organizers Alliance.
Yes, yeah. You know, to try to build on the retirement, because I think they're addressing that piece. What I would really like to see, and I wish that would happen, if all of the groups, and that's something I'm going to put on the table with the blueprint, they need to get a group plan. And if they would have a group plan, maybe that all of the organizations can buy into, it would be so much cheaper for everybody, you know, because if you're in a group plan, you don't have to pay these ridiculous, exorbitant amounts of premiums, you know, because smaller organizations, you know, their premiums are higher because usually it's like individual insurance or two people type coverage, and it's so expensive. So
I know NOAA has that around pension plan.
Right, around pension, works, but no.
But not around the health yet.
No health. But yeah. I think that needs to happen. And or either they set up that, you know, organizations can, you know, purchase, you know, something,
yeah.
You know, as a whole. Because if we do it as a plan, and I'm not sure if maybe insurance companies has it that it can only be an organization, you know, that has a payroll that actually has it. I know with the Justice Center and several others, you know, and trying to, you know, find out if, you know, we could possibly get into that, you need to be on their payroll, you know, in order to do it. So... It's a hassle. It really is. So we have to keep chugging at this and keep praying and hoping that, you know, that's something that would happen, that people will be able to get the kind of benefits that they need, especially when it comes down to health care and things that, you know, with life insurance, you know, things that people need in place should anything happen to them. Because you shouldn't have to do this work and then also worry, you know, about, well, if something happens to me. And we take the most dangerous. This is... You know, there's times that it may get to that point, too, where, you know, we're putting our lives on the line, you know, if you're going to really be out there. You never know what could happen to you. So
look at 78 in Greensboro,
yes.
Right? And
yes.
Oh. I mean, and look at farmers who are dying of pesticides.
That's
you think
right.
about farm worker
That's
advocates
right.
out there in the fields,
That's
too.
Right.
And yeah,
That's right. So we really need to, I think, that's another piece of advocacy that should happen, is that we should be, you know, talking to one another about, okay, how can we help, you know, in regards to this area? And I think that if we pull our resources together, we can do something, you know?
Well, I know that Margie Thompson and Marnie from the Fund for Democratic Communities wants to pull together like a round table about small nonprofits doing social justice work and just like a fishbowl of... how, like, what we face and what our fears are and our ideas for what might help. So I hope that, you know, you can come to that in the fall and share some thinking around
that
your ideas are good.
Yeah, and we all have to take better care of ourselves, you know, as well. So hard.
I know, girl.
We're eating on the road, you know. It's like...
I'm on my way to interview Lanice. I forgot to eat. I'll be damned if I'm not going to go through Bojangles and get a chicken biscuit. There's probably 8,000 calories in one of those chicken biscuits.
I forget the cholesterol and everything
That's
else, you know.
That's
but
right.
I'm trying to eat better, but it's just that portions, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I'll eat fruit, but it'd be a whole bag of fruit. You know? What good does that do? A whole thing of grapes like that and two bananas and two peaches and... No, you know, just, you know, chill. And so the thing is to sort of look at ways in which how we take care of ourselves as well. So
That's
we can
true.
Be around a little bit, you
yeah,
know. And
yeah.
not only that, to be able to enjoy our children and grandchildren. And
walk up a hill with
yes,
them.
Yes, yes. Get on the floor with them. I know my two-year-old granddaughter was saying, Jama, because they call me Jama, because in African that name is grandma. And so my grandchildren call me Jama.
And so she was saying, Jama, come on, come on. I was like, Jama can't come down. She was like on the floor, like doing these temple source things. And I was going, Jama can't do that. Come on, Jama, come on. Jama said, no, Jama can't do that. I tell you what, I'll say yay when you get.
Or let's wait till somebody gets home saying, help get
yes,
me off the floor.
Yes.
That's how I feel.
So it goes on. But I think as we, you know, continue to take care of ourselves and be in this, because the work is about the good, I really believe then we will be taken care of. We always will. We always will. And it'll be for the best. I mean, it's just unbelievable how sometimes when, okay, you get to a point, even, you know, myself, I know where, okay, if this grant doesn't work out, what will happen? There'll be some kind of thing that will happen, and somebody will call up, are you interested in doing this? And it's like, oh my gosh, you know? I know it's nobody but God. And I'm saying, yeah, we could do that, you know? So things always work out, you know, if we just, you know, really, I think, have good faith, it'll all work out. So, yes, it'll be fine.
Heirs will be fine. Say it again.
Heirs will be fine.
I knew you were keep saying it.
It will be fine.
So will NC Fair Share. That's a great way to end. Thank you, Lenise.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I like that t-shirt, too.
Oh, Highlander 75th. That's right. 75th anniversary.
Years. Wow.
It's probably got baby crud and they've torn
no,
it.
That means
that's all right. I'm a mama in the movement.
I think that's such a good thing. It's so good for children.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, they're blessed to have you. Aww.